ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
Have you ever looked at something you use every day and thought, hang on, who invented this? What was the very first toothbrush, for example? And how did it evolve into the one you grabbed this morning? If those kinds of questions tickle your brain, then you're exactly where you should be. On Extraordinary Everyday, we dig into the surprising design histories behind the objects we barely notice, but couldn't live without. And today, it's time to put the kettle on. Here in Australia, tea isn't just a drink, it's a ritual. From the boil of a billy by the campfire to everybody's jiggling. A Lipton tea bag, a good cup, has long been woven into our cultural identity. So it feels only natural that when it comes to delivering this liquid gold, Australians would be at the forefront of engineering the smartest, fastest, and most reliable way to boil water. Ian Wong is a senior lecturer in the Monash University Faculty of Art, Design and Architecture and founder of the Ian Wong Collection. Ian, thank you for joining us.
It's a pleasure, Anthony.
Now, the humble kettle. We kind of have a picture of the billy can. You know, that seems very Australian. But what was the first known kettle in Australia?
I'd like to start, if I could, with the international, because it's sort of better to sort of just look at the broader picture. Out in 91, a Carpenter Electric did the first electric kettle. Kettles before were from the, 3000 BC. There was always water devices and water heating devices. But in 1891 in America, they first did the kettle. But the first kettles were essentially a hot plate underneath a container of water. It was in the 1922 when they first started to put an element inside water, which is how we see kettles today. And the first real attempts in Australia were through companies like Cranbrook, and they were interested in and Heckler and the ceramic ones. Like, you talk about the tea is a fascinating one, because I can remember having tea with Mum where it was off a slow combustion stove with a big, aluminium kettle, which was fantastic. You'd smell the fire from the slow combustion stove. But then the ceramic one, which is almost so dangerous. You lift up the lid and you'd see this electric element inside and stuff. But a lot of people will have fond memories of Nan's house with the ceramic Heckler and various other products like that. But what we know more as a sort of an electric kettle with a cord, Black & Decker and those sort of companies started to manufacture those in the sort of 60s, 70s and 80s.
So really the first kettles as kind of distinct from other forms of boiling water was when the heating element was integrated into the chamber itself.
Correct.
Yeah. Yeah. So you said where that came from, you kind of described what it looked like. Can it maybe just give me a bit more flavour about what you think of when you think of those first kettles?
Oh, the first ones were all metal, so there was no plastics at that point, so it was all cast iron or cast aluminium, and they would, not be easy to clean and all those sorts of things. So the sort of electric kettle that we know today prospered in the 70s when plastics became possible and the polypropylenes and polyethylene materials became available. A challenge, of course, because it's a very, very hot thing. If it runs out, if it boils dry, then it's obviously a huge issue. So the thermostat was a very, very critical thing, and Strix in London was very, very important in the innovation of that. And we'll come back to that later because it's part of an Australian innovation later in the 90s.
I like a nice cup of tea in the morning, for to start the day, you see. And at 11:30, well, my idea of heaven is a nice cup of tea.
I suppose the other part about this too is that, like, none of these early kettles were anything like efficient.
No, exactly. And again, that if we, maybe we'll jump to the sort of innovation I wanted to talk about, which is the Cranbrook Axis kettle. So in the 1990s, RMIT had a fantastic program looking at eco redesign. So, we're aware of today of the environment, but back in the 90s in Australia, we were looking at how products could be so, so much better, cradle to grave ideas and all those things. And one of the fantastic projects, which is well celebrated, is the Axis 360 kettle. And what they were trying to do, Jerry Mussard and Paul Taylor were the main designers and others were involved, but they were trying to essentially stop reboiling of the kettle. So you have a cup of tea and then 5 minutes later, you'd want another one, and or you, you know, a few minutes later, and it was trying to insulate the kettle. But what's remarkable about this design history and this Australian design history is that that wasn't the thing that endured. What did endure is that Paul Taylor particularly said in the design process, we really want the kettle to not be plugged into the kitchen and stay in the kitchen. We want it to come to the table like a jug of water. And so this cylindrical nature and perfectly cylindrical object was designed. Previously, cordless kettles were off to the side. So this very central and elegant piece of engineering needed to be developed, and that is on every kettle all around the world as a result of that project in Melbourne in 1995.
Wow. So at that time, the kettle stopped being just a piece of utility and actually started to sort of take on the fashionability of tableware.
Exactly. And
yeah, it had to be presentable.
Correct. And the cordless thing happened earlier. So there's a lovely story. I remember going to London in the 80s and trying to get a job at one of the top places, Seymour Powell. And Dick Powell, who's an extraordinary international designer from London, invented the very first one with Tafal, the French company. And it's lovely seeing the sort of history of that particular design. And a nice link to Australian design education is that Dick Powell produced a book in the early 80s, which we all just loved as students. It taught us how to draw and how to visualise our ideas. And it sort of became a bit of a backbone as to why Australian education, we took those techniques. Phillips had a studio here and those people had those techniques. And that technique of creating your idea and presenting your idea in a drawn form dominated. And it was this person who'd invented the cordless kettle was linked to it. You know?
Yeah. So, I mean, you've sort of described a big jump there in design terms from utility to fashion. I'm wondering, do you think that was the biggest design leap to happen for kettles?
I think so. In terms of the bright colours and the capacity for the kettle, like many of us, I suppose another really dominant one people would relate to is the 80s, the Alessi stuff, you know. So the Michael Graves 9309 kettle with the bird and the whistling. The whistling kettle is obviously a wonderful thing, and he had this idea as an architect working for Alberto Alessi, who just fostered creativity at every step. You know, the bird's whistling when the steam's going through. So it was just a beautiful, iconic thing. And every Vogue cover and every sort of photo shoot for a house interior through the sort of 80s and 90s featured an Alessi kettle in the kitchen.
Oh, the factories may be roaring with the boom-a-lack-a-zoom-a-lack-a-wee, but there isn't any roar when the clock strikes four. Everything stops for tea.
What's the most popular kind of kettle in Australia, would you say?
Well, I think now mostly they're quite utilitarian. But one thing I'm very proud of is that the team in Sydney at Breville, they have something like 12% of the American market in very, very high quality. So they made a very strict decision about 20 years ago when Richard Hoare first went there that they would be the elite brand of domestic appliances. And so out of the design studio in Sydney, which have won, you know, top design studio of the year, they produce these amazing designs, and coffee machines, particularly things like espresso coffee machines, are often the go-to brand is Breville in the USA.
Wow, so we're punching above our weight in terms of exports.
Oh, we always have, I think. Like Mark Newson worked on the Sunbeam products and stuff, so there's been some terrific examples of people working in this space, and I don't really fully understand why Breville has maintained its position globally like it has. But of course, the design centre is the important thing. The production will vary in different places around the world.
It makes me think. Do you think those 12% of people in the United States who buy the Breville, do you think they realise it's an Australian product?
No, I'm sure they don't. I'm sure they would think it's European or somewhere else.
Right. So we're kind of masquerading.
I don't know that it's masquerading. I think when we do things of an extraordinary quality, Blackmagic and Rode and these sorts of companies, which you may know from very contemporary success stories in Australia, they're making the best products in the world.
With all that in mind, what do you think the future of the kettle is?
I think one thing that is certainly the case, and it's an Australian invention, is the zip and the billy type thing. So it's a tap that's in the kitchen, you know, so that it ceases to be a need to engage in a process, you know. So at the moment, if I literally say at home, look, who wants a cup of tea? it involves me going to the sink, filling the kettle and then putting it on. I think the zip and the billy, which are, again, are Australian things, you just simply go to the hot water and get the hot water straight away. I think that's probably as close to a future as we need.
Well, wow, that makes me think, though, we're kind of, as much as I love the zip and all the rest of it, like straight hot water straight out of the tap, I use it here at work all the time. But I'm thinking, like you said, and I do exactly the same thing, there's this beautiful ritual to a cup of tea. And for me, you're going to call me un-Australian because I boil water in a saucepan. So, I mean, because I don't want to have something on the kitchen bench. Like, that's me. My family hate me for it, but that's the reality.
But maybe you've got that Gold Rush spirit, you know, the Bulla Bay sort of idea, the bully tin, which is why the billy was called a billy.
Yeah.
You know, maybe that's, do you have French background in your family or something? I don't know.
But I like where you're going. Thank you for that. I'm going to use that.
No worries.
So, but the idea of the ritual of a cup of tea, of course, involves taking the time to fill up the kettle, put it on the stove or plug it in or whatever, let it boil, let it come to the boil, wait for the whistle and then the pour and you can hear it pouring into the glass. I mean, this is a beautiful part of everyday life that the best products would celebrate, I imagine. How do you feel about that?
Well, I think if we listen to the rhetoric, and it can be a little bit distressing, but if we listen to the rhetoric about what work life will become, those amazing moments in life, and I celebrated so many with my mother. You know, we actually have a ritual in my household where my brother-in-law makes the cup of tea after dinner. You know, it's a big family, so there's 13 or 15 of us around the table, and he does that exactly as you described it. And I think with us working less and with us needing to celebrate our sort of own way of living as opposed to work being the most important thing in our lives going forward, if the AI sort of proposals become part of that, simple things like a wonderful cup of tea and, like you said, whether it's a jiggling Lipton's, just that is really calming and the ritual is extraordinary.
I think so too. And truly extraordinary every day.
Absolutely.
Yeah. On that note, thank you, Ian. Wonderful to talk to you. I love the depth of your knowledge here in these design discussions. So thanks for sharing with us.
A pleasure.
Polly, put the kettle on. Polly, put the kettle on. Polly, put the kettle on. We'll all have tea.
Ian Wong, senior lecturer in the Monash University Faculty of Art, Design and Architecture and founder of the Ian Wong Collection. As always, if you enjoyed the episode, make sure you follow the show on ABC Listen. Just search Anthony Burke's By Design.
You've been listening to an ABC podcast. Discover more great ABC podcasts, live radio and exclusives on the ABC Listen app.